I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Explosive allegation from Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley releasing an FBI informant document alleging a $10 million bribery scheme against President Biden and his son Hunter, who's a board member of the Ukrainian energy company Burisma. The informant said, quote, "Don't worry, Hunter will take care of all of those issues through his dad." In 2016, the informant met with Mykola Zolchevsky, the head of Burisma, shortly after Joe Biden had made a public statement about Ukraine's top prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, being corrupt and that he should be removed from office. The informant says Zolchevsky, quote, "didn't want to pay the Bidens and he was pushed to pay them. He has many text messages and recordings that show he was coerced to make payments." Asked why Zolchevsky wouldn't hire someone with more experience in the oil and gas market, the informant says Zolchevsky replied, quote, "Hunter Biden was stupid. My dog was smarter. Burisma hired Hunter to protect us through his dad from all kinds of problems."
Oh, my dog is smarter than Hunter. Your cat is smarter than Hunter. The plant and the pot over there is smarter than Hunter. Hey, thanks for joining us again. Here we are, July 21, 2023. You were listening then to a Fox News reporter talking about how late yesterday, Senator Grassley released that Form 1023 in its entirety for the public to see. And the Democrats are, oh my God, you can't do that. Yeah, you can. It's not a classified document. And you guys were complicit along with the DOJ, the AG, the FBI, and the White House in trying to keep it concealed from the public about this informant and what he had to say. It's all part of the Form 1023 that they didn't want to release at all. And when they did, they redacted it. And then they weren't going to give it to anyone but the chairs of each committee. Grassley said, basically, to hell with that. The whole public should see this. Boom. And it is explosive. As always, we thank you for joining us, reminding you that every day, Monday through Friday, we are doing live streams on numerous platforms. Rumble. Go to rumble.com, enter Larry Connors USA or News Talk STL. We're also on Facebook at Larry Connors USA Facebook or News Talk STL Facebook. Or News Talk STL Twitter, or Larry Connors USA Twitter. I mean, you cannot avoid us. In fact, I think this program, even on those platforms, is getting more viewer listeners at the noon hour than other stations in the market. I don't doubt it. And, of course, the 6 o'clock report, our daily report. Always glad to have you listening and sharing that with your friends, family, and enemies. So Senator Grassley decides to release this information that the FBI has had for a long time, but they kept it under wraps because they knew it would be damning and damaging to the Bidens. Now, Senator Grassley of Iowa has been working with Wisconsin Senator Grassley. They're in the Senate. They don't have the power subpoena. They can't do everything the House is doing. That is why it's important that this next election, the Republicans gain control of the Senate so they can do more. But for right now, they're doing the best they can. And Grassley, along with Johnson, had been releasing information as they got it about FBI whistleblowers and IRS whistleblowers and then Comer in the House. And Jim Jordan, they've been doing their part over there in the House. But again, in Senator Johnson's opinion, with this Form 23 now being made public for everyone to see and read, it's just one more cog in the entire Biden crime family. But as he says, this is more evidence of how crooked this operation is.
The evidence keeps mounting about the corruption that is the Biden family. But as the evidence mounts, you don't see the mainstream media covering this at all. They continue to cover up for the Bidens. They don't cover this story. But Senator Grassley and I, we pretty well laid out the case of the vast web of financial foreign entanglements. Certainly convinced me I would never want President Biden to be in office in that compromise. He's a compromised president. It's pretty obvious. I think it's pretty obvious that his family is corrupt, that Hunter Biden committed multiple felonies, that the FBI did not do a thorough investigation. It's certainly not an honest prosecution. But that's the state of affairs right now here in the Capitol and our major news media who just continue to cover up for the Bidens.
That is a well-known fact. They barely even report on this stuff. And when they do, they're always trying to put in the context of, well, Trump did. But here's the other thing. Anytime you're talking about something Trump did or Biden did, I know you want to play tit for tat sometimes. I understand that. But the investigations and all the charges against Donald Trump right now, and their allegations, just like they are against Biden, I'm not going to deny that. There's nothing proven. It's just evidence, not proven. But the evidence is so overwhelming. You can't help but see, smell the Biden evidence. The Trump stuff, they've got to kind of figure out a way. How do we put it all together? Now, the latest thing, of course, is to hit him for he incited January 6th riot. They'd said that from the beginning, did they not? But suddenly now, well, let's get a grand jury and actually charge him. Why? Because we're moving closer to the election, and they've got to do everything they can based on the whistleblowers testifying in front of Congress, now the 1023 form being released, everything they can to do exactly what we've said all along, detour, distract, derail any concern and interest in Joe and Hunter Biden and their crime faction. Senator Cruz weighing in also that what these IRS whistleblowers have been presenting yesterday, there's more to come.
Two IRS whistleblowers testify before the House Oversight Committee, both senior career IRS employees, both Democrats. They don't have a partisan axe to grind. Their testimony was riveting. Their testimony was damning. The testimony yesterday that Merrick Garland, Joe Biden's attorney general, engaged in multiple felonies, including lying to Congress under oath and obstruction of justice.
And that's the next shoe I want to drop. On Merrick Garland lying to Congress, perjury against the Attorney General. Because everything in this Form 1023 and what the IRS agents have testified to, under threat of perjury as well for them, it has to fall back on top of AG Merrick Garland. Unless you think maybe President Biden would step forward and say, well, it's really my fault. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I even bothered you with such a stupid question. Wasted my breath and your ears, bothering your ears with something stupid like that. Let me let you hear from one of the IRS agents as they were testifying. This would be IRS agent Shapley, one of the whistleblowers, about the facts that they've uncovered.
Based on all of the financial records that we did find, you know, they've been analyzed, and it was around $8.3 million he received.
From who?
They came from China, from CEFC, came from Ukraine, and from Romania. And, even the Burisma money in the 2014 and 2015 tax years when the Burisma money was coming in, I mean, to this day, there's still around $400,000 of unreported income from Burisma in 2014. Hunter Biden was told by his partner, Eric Schwerin, that he needed to amend his returns, and he never did. So D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office declining those charges, David Weiss requesting special counsel authority and being denied, and then the statute of limitations then expires in November, December of 2022. So those years are gone, and there's no way to recoup the money from that Burisma income.
Can't get the income, can't get the revenue, and can't charge him. Oh, they know how to run the clock out. Senator Cruz picking up on the point of how some of this money was being dispersed from Burisma to Hunter.
They said in writing, the ultimate objective here is to stop the prosecutors from investigating the oligarch who owns Burisma. That makes clear Hunter doesn't know a damn thing about oil and gas. He doesn't speak Ukrainian. He had one value add, which is daddy. And it turns out that $83,000 a month was a very good investment, because just a couple of months after Hunter signed that contract, Joe Biden got on a plane, flew to Ukraine, and held over $1 billion of United States taxpayer aid hostage unless and until they fired the Ukrainian prosecutor who was investigating that oligarch. And as you know, Joe Biden on video explained, he said, well, son of a bitch, they fired the guy. And so, in terms of quid pro quo, we know the quo happened. We know that Joe Biden forced them to fire the prosecutor. We've now learned the quid is there, that that was the explicit terms for which Hunter Biden and the Biden family was being paid.
And we're going to relive that moment, because Joe Biden and those remarks are going to haunt him. I'm going to make sure they do. Now, again, that's Cruz is talking about what the IRS agent whistleblowers have been documenting through bank records. Now let's move back to the Form 1023, the source that was talking to the FBI, telling them about how he was basically being put in a corner by the Bidens. And Jonathan Turley, a Fox News contributor, I want to point that out, but a George Washington law professor, says those documents also involve the big guy.
The other thing about this this document is that it dovetails perfectly with what Comer and other chairmen have found, also including the recent disclosures from Ways and Means, about how money went to the Biden family. The document refers to how they were not supposed to send money to the, quote, big guy, a term we've seen in other files as referencing President Biden. But it said that the Bidens preferred to use a labyrinth of different accounts, different corporations to hide the money. Well, these committees have put together a detailed account of just layers upon layers of corporations and accounts used, and it doesn't seem like there's any purpose to this complexity except to hide these transfers of money. And so the most disturbing thing about the document is that it mirrors what was recently released by these committees looking at the actual transactions from these banks.
In other words, they took that jigsaw puzzle. They did not have the picture of how it's supposed to fit together, but they figured out how it does fit together. And House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's office releasing a series of news clips going back to 2019 of the leftists, the progressives, the Democrats, and the media defending claims that Biden is not corrupt.
This is absolutely outrageous attack on Joe Biden. There's no evidence whatsoever that he's done anything wrong.
No evidence of wrongdoing tied to his son Hunter Biden's Ukraine business has actually been found.
He had no evidence of wrongdoing by either Biden.
Again, there is just no evidence at this point in time that Joe or Hunter Biden did anything inappropriate here.
Not one single fact ever uncovered by anyone that he did anything unethical.
Now it's Hunter Biden. There's always a diversion. They are always looking for a shiny object to divert attention.
Julian, the magic words now for Republicans are Hunter Biden. Like, that is the get out of jail free card.
The Trump Republicans are so bad, so the press has to compensate by playing up Biden and Hillary scandals.
There are no scandals from the Biden White House about anything.
We should be clear, there's never been any evidence of a link between President Biden and any wrongdoing that Hunter Biden may have committed.
It's called the big lie. There's no evidence. There is zero evidence, as Biden said today.
President Biden said he has not received any money from business with his family. There is no evidence to date Joe Biden has received large sums of money.
Biden is chump change compared to what the Trump kids took in during the Trump presidency.
When you're talking about the investigation around Joe Biden in particular, at this point, there isn't enough information to suggest that there's a whole lot more digging to take place.
First of all, my son's done nothing wrong. I trust him. I have faith in him. And it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of him.
feel proud of him. Now, that last part, a lot of the other voices of the various news clips, you could probably make out who they were, but certainly the last one being President Joe Biden. That was not the part, that was not added onto McCarthy's series of news clips, but Fox News put it on at the end, and I'm glad they did, because it puts all the rest of it in context, and they kept saying, it's all being made up. Smoke and mirrors, there's nothing here. They're trying to ignore bank records, documents that are absolutely do exist. This is not an allegation of someone saying something. It's documented. Now, how much can we prove or see proven regarding the rest of it? Senator Johnson says, if you're going to expect that you're going to get any kind of help at all in digging up these truffles, don't go to the media.
Joe Biden has been lying through his teeth to the American public for years. He's a plagiarist. By the way, the news media has known he and his family have been profiting off the Biden name for years. Senator Grassley and I laid most of this out in our September 2020 report. It was ignored. We were vilified. We were accused of spreading Russian disinformation. So again, we're getting more piece of the puzzle. We're getting confirmation of what we've already known. We're getting a few more details. But none of this is a surprise to me. I've known that Joe Biden is corrupted. He's a proven liar. He's unfit for office. But once again, when most Americans get their news through either news feeds through the big tech social media giants who are a bunch of radical leftists themselves, through the mainstream media who are a bunch of advocates for the Democrat Party, that's what we get in terms of our politics. We get corrupt individuals that are Democrats that are pushing more government and less freedom. And Americans, unfortunately, too many of them are buying it.
They are buying it. And Senator Cruz says there's something else that is at stake, and that's coming up.
Joe Biden and Merrick Garland, they don't believe in democracy. Donald Trump is one of the leading candidates to be president, and they don't trust the voters to make that decision. They would rather try to take that choice away from the voters. It is a corruption of our justice system. Then I'll tell you what it is. It's election interference. I think the Biden White House believes that by indicting Trump, that they help him in the Republican primary, and that may well be right. But I think they also believe that by indicting Trump over and over and over again, that they hurt him in the general election. I don't know if that's right or not, but I think that's what the Biden White House believes.
I think that's exactly correct, Senator Cruz. It's another effort to tamper with the coming election. I am going to remind you, and I know some of you are saying, I got it, Larry, I got it. Well, I want to make sure everybody gets it. I'm not even worried about counting votes last time and who got what votes brought in late. I look at the fact that that election got interfered with when the FBI, when fully aware of that Hunter Biden laptop, told big tech and big media companies, legacy media, don't cover it. It's all Russian collusion. Ignore it. They tampered with the election by keeping information from you. All right, coming up, we've got a lot to cover this hour. One of my country music heroes breaks my heart. And we've also lost a music legend. Plus, Joe Biden, in his own words, proving he did get involved in his son's business dealings. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I remember going over convincing our team, or others to convincing us that we should be providing for loan guarantees. And I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was going supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference. I said, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
It was all laughing matter at that point. Joe Biden, as vice president, had been given authority by President Barack Obama to take care of Ukraine. A $1 billion loan, basically giveaway. That's the way we treat loans in the Democrat administrations. It's a loan, but then we'll say, oh, you don't need to pay it back. Forget about it. Nothing here. But in his own words, you just heard Joe Biden, and he had no idea they were going to come back to haunt him like they are. Admit that he was involved in Hunter Biden's activities in Burisma. Why and how? Larry, that's a stretch. No. Because, as you heard him say, I want that prosecutor fired. What was that prosecutor doing? He was looking into illegal activities involving Burisma, the energy company, in Ukraine. And the entire country was corrupt. Let's make that very clear. Let's don't hold anyone up as a saint inside Ukraine then nor now. But at the same point, the country was corrupt. The good, honest people that lived there, they were victims of that same corruption. And everyone that saw an opportunity to make a dollar, two, 50, 100 million, they were rushing in. Hunter Biden saw his opportunity. And then he gets on the board of Burisma, doesn't know anything about oil, gas, and energy, as you were hearing Senator Cruz earlier, but he's the vice president's son. And they didn't want to make any payment, according to the informant that talked to the FBI. They didn't want to make the payment. One said, no, we got to. And so here's Joe Biden, after he's out of office, talking to a national foreign gathering, saying how tough I was with him, man. I went and told him, you're not going to get that money. Well, you can't keep it from us. He said, the hell I can't. You call Barack Obama, he'll tell you, you're not going to get it unless you fire that prosecutor. Well, son of a bitch, I did. You think that's not getting involved in your son's business and protecting him? Of course it is. Everybody laughed. I thought it was kind of funny, you know. He really put the pressure on him. That's called extortion. It's called extortion. It's a crime. And it was putting him in a position for him and Hunter to get a lot of money. Larry, you don't have any proof of that. All I know is that the bank records show a lot of money is being transferred back and forth, and Hunter Biden was on the Burisma board making $1 million a year and knew nothing about that business. But I want to let you know that between the whistleblower's testimony yesterday and what they were stating and laying out the facts as they exist in the IRS reports based upon the bank records. Where's the income? Who got it? How was it reported? Was it reported? I'm looking at how The Hill is writing a cover piece to protect the allegations and make Biden look better. In fact, the title is Reference to Whistleblowers, Democrats See GOP Hypocrisy on the IRS. Well, of course. Points out House Democrats are blasting Republicans with charges of hypocrisy for lionizing a pair of IRS whistleblowers while fighting to defund the agency at large over allegations of corruption and bias against conservatives. That's not just an allegation. Lois Lerner, remember from the IRS, admitted she had agents, quote, go rogue, and they were blocking any group that had Tea Party in it or conservative if they were trying to get basically an allowance from the IRS that they could have tax-exempt status to collect more money. They were pushed aside. That's clear corruption. If you're going to push them aside and let those who were raising money on behalf of the Democrats rush forward as tax-exempt status. But Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is dumber than Hunter, who's dumber than your dog and your cat and the potted plant, AOC said, it's a very cherry-picked situation. It's hypocritical to call on these folk while also stripping the resources they need to do their job. There you talk about hypocritical. You don't really want the IRS to do its job on Hunter and Joe Biden. AOC, wake up. You're in a room, it's dark, hit the light switch. You do not want to see the cockroaches scurrying. It's hypocritical to call on these folks while also stripping the resources they need to do their job. Like adding another 10,000 IRS agents. Who do you think they're going to be targeting then? Would they be going after baristas, like AOC was, making coffee at a, quote, Starbucks-type location? The Hill report does conclude that both of the whistleblowers are veteran agency officers, and one of the agents being quoted in there, Ziegler, the one who is Agent X, saying it's a special agent, I thought the felony charges were well supported, the ones we did file. But there was a question session going back between Ziegler and Congressman Raskin.
Under the statute, when someone fails to timely pay their taxes, usually due April 15th, once that date occurs, they have a known tax liability and they fail to pay it, the crime has already been committed. The fact that they paid the taxes after, that's a mitigating factor that the judge can use their discretion at sentencing. But I would like to make one reference that this does not include the over $100,000 in additional tax due and owing that was not charged related.
No, you made yourself clear you thought there were additional charges that were laid on the table and not pursued by U.S. Attorney Weiss, the Trump appointee.
Raskin had to throw in Attorney Weiss, the Trump appointee. In other words, obviously, if he's a Trump appointee and he didn't think it's worth pursuing, well, then that's adequate. That was not made with a bias because he was a Trump appointee. But Ziegler was saying, you don't understand, the crime was committed at that point, and there was reason to move forward. But Raskin's trying to immediately undermine him, trying to step in and say, well, you know, you don't have a real clear understanding. Ziegler's the IRS agent, not Raskin. And Ziegler is saying, no, there were legitimate reasons to go forward, as even The Hill was reporting. There were legitimate felony charges. Raskin's trying to brush him aside. He's thinking, man, this guy wants to fight back, and he knows more than I do, and he's talking about facts. Well, I'm just trying to blow smoke to distract. Oh, he was trying to get rid of this agent, get him off the panel, go away. Let's go talk about how sunny it is outside or how much rain might be coming over the next 40,000 years. Something else. No, Ziegler says, I'm not done, sir.
There are a lot of different tax cases out there that include misdemeanors and felonies. And there's a lot of reasons why we charge the felony. We might charge the misdemeanor. But I want to be clear on this, that when you have a felony charge with a misdemeanor, that you have to charge the felony. And in this case, they did not charge that felony. And then there's one more point to this. We had a meeting with all four prosecutors.
When you say you have to charge the felony, that is a Department of Justice rule, you're saying?
That is in their manual, that you have to charge the felony in order to avoid an equitable treatment of taxpayers.
No, but you're saying whether or not the evidence supports it?
That is a part of that, is in that analysis, is whether the evidence... But that goes back to the point of that if... The certain deductions that were taken on the tax return, that's for you guys to decide whether the felony was there or not. But the point is that we're bringing...
That's for the U.S. attorney to decide. And I'm afraid we're not going to be able to investigate every tax case in America.
Gentlemen's time's expired.
Raskin is basically duck, run, cover. He said, that's not for us to decide. That's U.S. attorney to decide. Well, of course, that's what Ziegler was referring to when he said that's for you to decide. He's talking about, yes, the prosecutor has to decide which felony charges we're going to move forward to. This happens all the time in every case. You got a lot of charges against someone. They agree to plead guilty on some if you reduce some or take them off the table. But he said you got to move forward with a felony case. You don't drop it in place of a misdemeanor case. Raskin realized, I don't know enough to even ask these questions. Let's move on. And he was so thankful for the chair to say, gentlemen's time is up. Oh, thank God. Let's move on. Word just coming out. Trump is going to go to trial for 37 federal felony counts May 20th of next year. That's according to a federal judge, if they say. May 2024. Now coming up, a police officer, barely alive, and no justice. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Turn it up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Just yesterday, this week, I think it was yesterday, no, it was the day before, we had Sergeant Betsy Bratner Smith representing the National Police Officers Association. And we're talking about how tough it is to get young men and women to join a police force. And in fact, it was based off of an L.A. police memo from union memo by the vice president of that union telling officers you need to just go ahead and resign and go somewhere where you're going to be appreciated. because in the L.A. Police Department, she said, you're not being respected, and no one's going to be there to have your back. Well, there was a verdict that came down that involved a police officer, Megan McCarthy. This took place in Victorville, California. It was a couple of years ago, September the 4th. This is a female officer. She's having to go on patrol by herself. And she's called on a 911 call for a domestic disturbance. Now, I will reinforce to you, when we hear the leftists talk about, well, you know, these a lot of these cases, folks are called in, it's a domestic disturbance. Police don't really need the gun. Maybe we'll just send somebody who deals with domestic-type cases. In other words, what, a disturbance between a man and a woman? Or would it be spouse or something of that nature? Well, in this case, it was a mother calling police on her son. Her son is schizophrenic, diagnosed as such. Apparently, he was getting out of control, and she was worried, so she called police for help. Now, again, here's where you're going to hear some of the progressives say, perfect case to send in a social worker, not a police officer. Really. And, of course, even then, they say, well, if you send a police officer, they don't need their gun. Leave the gun in the car. They're just going to go talk to somebody. The testimony the officer gave, she said, as soon as I arrived, I'm walking up the driveway and the man starts coming at me. Now, the 911 dispatch had been relayed and saying, according to the testimony and the 911 call, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, get my son out of here. So that is why the officer is responding. And she says, as I'm walking up to the front door of the house, the front door opens and out comes the male, the suspect. The woman, I assume, is a reporting party. She has a knife in her hand. She's on the phone with dispatch. So she's already encountering a situation that looks dangerous. She said, I make it just on the driveway, and the guy is so angry, fist clenched, coming right at me. I walk around behind him, put his hands at the small of his back. I tell him to relax. I'm just asking what's going on. Going to pat him down, see if he got any weapons. And suddenly, boom, it sets him off. Begins to assault her. About a minute into her being beaten as she's screaming for help and everything, and of course she's already radioed the best she could, going to need more assistance here, more officers, officer under attack, a neighbor in a nearby complex starts shooting some video. Video's kind of hard to see. It's obstructed by trees, but clearly the man has her on the ground and punching away at her face and then gets her gun, pulls her pistol out, and goes to shoot her, aiming right at her. In a testimony, she said later in an interview, she said, I thought that was it. I'm looking down the barrel of my own gun. I hear the click, and I imagine that's the last thing I will ever hear. But the gun jammed. For some reason, it didn't fire right away. So she gets up, starts running, and then he starts pulling the trigger again, and it is firing. He just can't hit her. She's ducking and running best she can to get away, and about then two other police cars roll up on the guy. Why they didn't shoot him on the spot? I would have said you have every right at that point, but they didn't. So he goes to trial, and the jury makes a decision after hearing everything I just told you and watching the video where they clearly see what happened. Say, well, you know, I don't know we can really charge him with trying to kill the officer. They looked at the fact that even though she was performing her duties lawfully at the time, his defense said, well, she wasn't being lawfully. The attorney said, trying to detain somebody because you want to do an investigation, that's not right. You got to believe there's engaged in criminal activity. Well, his mom is the one who's called. Get help. I get him out of my house. So they did not charge him with attempted murder of a police officer. They did not charge him with assaulting a police officer. several broken bones in her face and other injuries. As I said, pulled her own pistol from her, aimed it right into her face, and pulled the trigger, and thank God it just clicked. It didn't fire. You don't know in the tussle as to what happened, as to why it didn't fire at that moment, but he gave her just enough time to get away. None of that amounts to a legitimate, serious charge in the view of some of these California juries. They've already admitted that in California, if you have basically a bias against police, you are allowed to be on the jury. What? That's part of the questioning in the beginning. Do you believe in law enforcement? Do you have bias against police? Yeah, I don't like them. Okay, well, we'll put you on the jury if we can get you on. Bottom line is, you know what they end up finding this guy guilty of? Now, granted, this is a mental case. I'm accepting that fact. But that does not excuse trying to kill a police officer at that moment. The one charge he was found guilty of was negligent discharge of a firearm. That's it. And they say because he had already been behind bars long enough to serve that sentence, he ended up being released. No. That cannot happen. And yet it did. And again, in California, they apparently have decided that we will allow anyone who has a bias against police to sit in on a case where a police officer might be charged with something, or someone is charged with trying to hurt a police officer. And they've already gone in. They made up their, you're supposed to be able to say, can you make up your mind, regardless of any other coverage, based on the facts in front of you? That's standard when they're basically selecting a jury. Each side, defense and the prosecutor, get a chance to strike any juror they don't want, but they get a limited number. Judge can strike somebody if they choose to, or excuse them for some reason. But where does it come into any kind of common sense that you can ask them, do you have bias against police officer? Because this case is going to involve a police officer who claims that she was nearly killed by the man sitting in front of you. Yeah, I don't like police. Good, we'll put you on the jury. If you aren't filming and growing absolutely angry right now out there, what the hell is wrong with you? Or are you one of the ones who said, yeah, I don't like police either? You might not like what a particular police officer did at a particular time. You might not like some because you're a thug. You might not like some because you think you've been falsely charged and accused. I understand some of that. You're entitled to have that biased attitude. My point is, you don't get on the damn jury. But in California, yeah, we'll let you do that. Welcome to jury duty. And you'll be making some money in the process. Coming up, one of my favorite country stars just crossed the line, and I'm angry. Plus, the nation losing a legendary entertainer.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Oh, the the sounds of Tony Bennett singing that standard song, I Left My Heart in San Francisco. He died earlier today, late last night, at age 96. It had Alzheimer's, diagnosed back in 2016. By the way, that song, and that clip, by the way, came from an Ed Sullivan Show performance in 1964. The song was written by George Corey, and that was in the fall of 53 that he wrote it, and then it began to be recorded. But when Tony Bennett did it, is that way, it became big. But actually, it was not that big, believe it or not. It was on the B-side to Once Upon a Time. Once Upon a Time by Tony Bennett was the A-side of the recording. When they would send the radio, the recordings out for the stations, that was the A-side. I Left My Heart in San Francisco wasn't meant to be that big. Not only did it become big, reaching number 7 on the Easy Listening chart of all time, it also the official anthem for the city of San Francisco. Yeah, he was one of the last of the great crooners, Tony Bennett. One of my favorite movie performers has always been Garth Brooks. I mean, I got a lot of them, Hank Williams Jr. and even Hank Williams Sr. I mean, I could go through a full list of them. But one would also include Garth Brooks. I Got Friends in Low Places. The Thunder Rolls. Rodeo, that damn rodeo. Blood Rodeo. Great songs. Well, Garth Brooks and his wife, Trisha Yearwood, just released a video that basically is encouraging you personally, in addition to the billions of dollars this country has sent to Ukraine, and I'm all in supporting Ukrainians who are suffering, believe me. But they basically stepped forward and did a video that's getting a lot of slam down from all kinds of folks.
We stand with Ukraine, especially the refugees.
There's a global initiative, and of course, supplies and aid is already spread thin. And this is where you come in. We need your help. We need you to donate.
Yeah, I mean, we always ask for love and prayers. Please keep doing that. We're also going to ask you, dig in your pockets, be part of the greatest global relief plan mankind has ever seen.
Everybody deserves dignity. Everybody deserves a roof over their head to feel safe. You can be a part of that.
Yeah, amen. So join us, won't you? Stand up for love.
Stand up for mankind.
Stand up for Ukraine.
Now, the audio and the sound effect that went with it was all part of what they decided to put out. It's been described by some as kind of creepy sounding. I'll leave that to your determination. But despite billions and billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars being sent over to Ukraine and American families continuing to suffer, Biden economics or Bidenomics, however you want to call it, doing so great for you, right? I think I saw the other day the price of bread is up 11 to 12% compared to a year ago. So here was Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood deciding to post this video encouraging you to give money out of your pocket. If you knew it was going to go help Ukrainian people, and we had in the beginning sources that we were telling you where you could send money and our donations that we knew would be going directly to Ukrainians. There's a guy in Chicago that my former pastor, Randy Mayfield, a Central Presbyterian Church, knew and had worked on foreign missions with, and he knew that the money would be properly handled. But right now, we don't know where a lot of that money's going or if the people are seeing it at all. And country music star John Rich, he certainly trashed the appeal by Brooks and Trisha Yearwood. And you got Kay Smith, a writer for the Daily Caller, said mocking Garth Brooks is usually low-hanging fruit, but that she thought John Rich went above and beyond the call of duty and slamming him out for that. Of course, Garth Brooks is already in trouble with many because down at his new bar in Nashville, he said, we're going to go ahead and sell Bud Light, whether you like it or not, with Dylan Mulvaney on it. Garth, you have disappointed me extremely. But that's the beginning of another country song. Hey, remember our pledge, one nation under God.